Well, tonight we're going to talk about King Asa. We can find him in 2 Chronicles 14 through 16. And I have a lot of verses here that I'm going to try to work us through. It's a pretty long passage. And I think about this and I think, well, I should have just chosen one little verse in that passage. But there's so many verses, I just have to tell them all to you because they're so great. So the first verse that we want to talk about, though, is a verse that you know and you memorized long, long time ago. And you know it so well. And I'd like to have us recite this verse together. So sing this, say this with me. You can sing it if you want, but trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your path straight. I think about that verse a lot. I don't know if you every week think about the verse, but I think we should have that verse constantly in our mind about trusting in the Lord and not leaning on my own understanding. I think that is the Achilles heel of all of this, is we've got to think and lean on our own understanding. Well, King Asa, you know him a little bit. He was the third king after the kingdom split. So there was David, Solomon, and then Rehoboam. They didn't last very long. And Abijah, he reigned 3 years. And then Asa came, and he reigned 41 years. Asa, he overlapped with the kings of Israel. So you remember that Judah, the southern kingdom, split off from Israel, the northern kingdoms. And Asa, 41 years, well, he reigned through Jeroboam, Nadab, Baasha, Elah, Zimri, Omri, and almost early Ahab. So he lasted. Those guys in the north didn't obey the Lord, and their kingdom didn't last very long, but Asa's did. Well, I want to share some interesting thoughts about Asa. And so I have five thoughts here at the beginning that what we can learn. When we pull all these things about Asa together, I want us to talk about what can we learn for ourselves? And so the first thought is to prepare well. Prepare well. So Asa did this. So listen to some of the great things that Asa did. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He removed the foreign altars and the high places. He smashed the sacred stones and cut down the Asherah poles. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and to obey his laws and commands. Right there, I mean, you love the guy right now because you think, wow, this guy is solid. He's doing the right things. He's making great decisions. He went on. He removed the high places and incense altars in every town in Judah, and the kingdom was at peace under him. He built up the fortified cities of Judah. Since the land was at peace, no one was at war with him during those years, for the Lord gave him rest. So we see his obedience resulted in blessing. God blessed the nation. They were at rest. And notice about how degenerate Judah had gotten, right? Every little town, every hill had some sort of incense altar to a foreign god. Like, what happened? Why was that such, it proliferated everywhere? Well, Asa had a big job to do. He had to clean up a lot of places, and he did a lot of great things because he wanted to get people back to worshiping the one true God and seeking him. And if you seek him, you'll be found by him. That's a principle we all know, but Asa lived this out, and God blessed him. But he decided that he was going to prepare well in the sense that he built up the cities. He had peace all around him, and he didn't just sit around. He built up the town. So notice, still in 2 Chronicles 14, he built up these towns, he said to Judah, and put walls around them and towers and gates and bars. The land is still ours because we have sought the Lord our God. We sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. So my point is that he didn't just use the rest to rest. He used the peace that he was blessed with to build up his cities, to prepare for war, to prepare and protect his people. So Asa had a lot of insight. Well, so it's an interesting thought here. We should use the calm seasons of our lives to strengthen spiritual disciplines. our spiritual relationships and skills before the challenges arise. Now, sometimes we go through all sorts of trials, but you have seasons of life, you know. Sometimes it's crazy busy, and the trials just keep coming and coming and coming. Other times, God gives you a season of rest, and you've experienced both. Well, we need to take those seasons of rest when they come and invest in our lives spiritually. We need to strengthen our spiritual disciplines. We need to strengthen our spiritual relationships. Don't just, when things are going great, don't just kick your feet up and say, well, that's nice. I don't have to worry about anything right now. Prepare well. So here's the thought. Don't just read your Bible when you're in a crisis. I know you don't. But some people do. Some people, it's a crisis, we got to figure out what to do. And so then they turn to the Lord. You need to prepare ahead. Don't just memorize the verse, memorize it now so you can be ready to share. So you're constantly in the Word, you're constantly learning and growing, you're preparing for what God has for you when the crisis arises. Prepare well. All right, so the next thought I want to share about Asa is pray hard. Maybe should be pray first, but here is an interesting trial. So, you know, you're moving along in life, and the Lord brings a trial into your life to test you, to bring you stronger, to closer to Him. So Asa had an army of 300,000 men from Judah, equipped with large shields with spears, and 280,000 from Benjamin, armed with small shields with bows. These were brave fighting men. Well, that's a great army, 580,000 men strong with shields and spears, and they were brave. Well, okay, that's good, but Zerah, the Cushite, marched out to get them with an army of thousands upon thousands and 300 chariots and came as far as Mareshah. Asa went out to meet him, and they looked up the battle positions in the valley of Zarephath near Mareshah. So you got 580, good for you. Zerah, the Cushite from Ethiopia, has 1 million people. I thought I was ready for anything. I had my army, I got my spears, got my shields, got the guys, they're all great. Wait a minute, there's 1 million guys over there. Can you imagine? I've never seen 1 million people, although I've seen some pictures of various demonstrations and various things here and there, and yeah, 1 million people, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of West Michigan people. If you lined all them up, it would be a bunch of people. Can you imagine looking over the hill and seeing the valley and seeing people everywhere, and then counting noses and saying, okay, we got 580 on our side, and they got 1 million on their side. The odds aren't good. Even though you're brave, the odds aren't good. They had 300 chariots. All right, so this is the thing I love about Asa. Asa called to the Lord his God and said, Lord, there is no one like you to help the powerless against the mighty. He felt it. Right? This is a real prayer. Help us, Lord, our God, for we rely on you. And in your name we have come against this vast army. Lord, you are our God. Do not let mere mortals prevail against you. I love him. I love this guy because he knew that the Lord was his strength. And he prayed out to him, and you help the powerless against the lion. Do you pray that way? Really, I'm constantly thinking about Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, where he says, I delight in weakness. And that little phrase that Paul says just hits me all the time. I delight in weakness. And I would have to be honest and say, I don't delight in weakness. I want to be strong. I want to be smart. I want to know all the answers. I want to do the right thing. But Paul says, I delight in weakness so that the power of Christ might rest on me. Wow, if you put it that way, I guess I should delight in weakness, so it's not my power that's going to accomplish or solve my problem. It's the power of the Spirit working through me as I rely on God. That's how I'm going to solve my problems. And that's what Paul then concluded. I delight in my weakness, for when I am weak, then I am strong, that the power of Christ might rest through me. Well, this is Asa. So he stood with his 580, but he prayed, and God showed up in a big way. It says, here's a thought from Isaiah. Because not everybody thinks this way, and in Isaiah's day, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, who rely on horses, who trust in the multitude of their chariots and the great strength of their horsemen, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or to seek help from the Lord. There's a lot of people, and unfortunately there are Christians, who try to solve their problems themselves. They want to think themselves out of it. They have their bank balance is big enough to solve all their problems, they think. Well, Isaiah said, well, you shouldn't rely on horses. You shouldn't rely on the multitude of your chariots. You shouldn't rely on the strength of your horse. You should look to the Holy One of Israel and seek help from him. And that's exactly what Asa did. So the great answer to this, the Lord struck down the Cushites before Asa and Judah. I don't know. It doesn't even say that Asa did a thing. It says the Lord did it. And the Cushites fled, and Asa and his armies pursued them. It's like, okay, they're going that way. Let's chase them. I can chase them. And they chased them as far as Gerar. Such a great number of Cushites fell that they could not recover. They were crushed before the Lord and his forces. It didn't say they were crushed before the Lord and Asa. I think it's the angelic army that crushed the Cushites. Well, so what a fantastic victory, right? So you went out with 580 and you faced a million, and the Lord showed up and accomplished some amazing things. So the men of Judah carried off a large amount of plunder. That's why we're there. They were just packing things back. They destroyed all the villages around Gerar, for the terror of the Lord had fallen on them. They looted all these things since there was much plunder there. So God blessed them with all this stuff because of their obedience. Number three, don't give up. Well, okay, don't give up. So the first one was prepare well. The second one was pray hard. This one is don't give up. I just won over a million people. Well, so the Spirit of God came on Azariah, the son of Oded. He went out to meet Asa and said to him, listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you're with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. If you forsake him, he will forsake you. Well, that's a great reminder right after you've done the right thing, right? How interesting, though, that he had to come out and remind him, listen, if you seek him, he will be found by you. If you forsake him, he will forsake you. So this concept, don't give up. Well, then Azariah goes into the history of Israel, which is a history of not seeking the Lord. For a long time, Israel without the true God, without a priest to teach him, without the law, but in their distress, they turned to the Lord, the God. They sought him, and he was found by them. So Israel has this history of forsaking him, and then the Lord forsakes them. So then they get into trouble, and they turn back to him, and they seek him, and he is found by them. So this is the book of Judges, and this is the history of the nation of Israel. It's the history of us and me, that I don't seek him, and then I get into trouble, and then I do seek him, and then he can be found. For in those days, it was not safe to travel about, for all the inhabitants of the land were in great turmoil. One nation was being crushed by another, one city by another, because the Lord God was troubling them with every kind of distress. And here's my verse. But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. You know, it's interesting, isn't it, that this prophecy from Azariah came after he had just defeated a million soldiers. You would think this would come before, came after. Why? Because the battle's not over. So Asa won the physical battle against a physical enemy. Now he turns and he faces a spiritual battle against spiritual enemies. And that's even more difficult. Think about what he did. So Asa heard these words in the prophecy of Azariah, son of Oded. He took courage. And he had a first revival. Remember the first few verses where he's crashing all the idols and, you know, throwing those Asherah poles away and, you know, burning things. Now he removed the detestable idols from the whole land of Judah and Benjamin, from the land, towns he had captured in the hills of Ephraim. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was in front of the portico of the Lord's temple. So he took it even further. He kept pursuing. He kept going. This is a great principle, right? We have a spiritual victory, and we think it's that's great. Look at what I just accomplished. But there's more to do. There's deeper things in your heart. There's more idols to cast down. There's more territory to take for the Lord. There's more work to do. And so that's why it says don't give up. As for you, be strong. Don't give up. So Asa is a great example. He didn't give up. So then he assembled all Judah and Benjamin from Ephraim and Manasseh and Simeon who had settled among him. For large numbers had come over to him from Israel when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. Now, I find that little phrase interesting. It's like, when you know somebody, this is the Blackaby comment. If you ever Experiencing God is a book, Henry Blackaby, he would say, you know, when you see God working somewhere, you go there and work there, because then you know that you're in God's work. You're doing God's will. When you see him working somewhere. So that's kind of what happened here. Everybody saw what was going on with Asa, and they said, I want to be part of that. I think we want that at Faith Community. I think we have so much going on here that people see it and say, I want to be a part of this. I want to have something because the Spirit is moving. Because people's lives are being changed. Because God is working. I want to be a part of that. Well, this is revival going on here for Asa. They assembled at Jerusalem the third month, the 15th year. This is the 15th year of his reign. And at that time, they sacrificed to the Lord 700 head of cattle, 7,000 sheep and goats from the plunder they brought back. A great worship service, a great sacrifice. Those days, it was not safe. It's not right. Oh no. What did I do? Did I go? Oh, I went the wrong way? I'm sorry. User error. Man, I was on a roll. It's terrible. All right, a large number. There we go. He removed the detestable idols. Oh man, I'm in a loop now. I'm sorry. This is very embarrassing. This is wrong. I should number them all, right? So I know where I'm at. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. He took courage. I'm in a loop. How did that happen? It's weird. It's like, oh, here we go. Got out of the loop. There we go. Oh, I wasn't in a loop. It was just great verse. All right. I'm sorry. All right. So anyway, he brought these people together. They had a revival. There we go. Yeah, there it is. They entered into a covenant. All these people got together and they said to seek the Lord and the God of their ancestors with all their heart and soul. Here's the revival part. Those who would not seek the Lord, the God of Israel, were to be put to death. So, you know, you're going to have a revival then, whether small or great. But they entered into a covenant. So I love this one. The next one says, they took an oath with a loud acclamation, with shouting and trumpets and horns. All Judah rejoiced about the oath because they had sworn wholeheartedly. They sought God eagerly, and he was found by them. So the Lord gave them rest on every side. What a wonderful revival. It's because they sought the Lord wholeheartedly. They didn't hold anything back. King Asa, and here's how deep this commitment went. he deposed his grandmother, Maacah, from her position as queen mother, because she had made a repulsive image for the worship of Ashtoreth. Asa cut it down, broke it up, and burned it in the Kidron Valley. Wow. I mean, this is deep to get into family issues and to say, Grandma, you're not doing the right thing, and you don't have a job anymore. Wow. He made some tough decisions. You think facing a million soldiers was tough. Facing Grandma was pretty tough. That's probably tougher because of the relationships and the hold that she had over the kingdom. She was queen mother, for goodness sake, and he had so much courage that he took her on and said, this isn't right. We're going to tear down this idol. Wow. It's hard. Family issues are the hardest, right? Standing up with your family, taking a stand, saying what you're doing is not right. That is the hardest thing ever. But Asa did it. Now, there's this verse in Deuteronomy. It says, don't set up any wooden Asherah pole beside the altar you built for the Lord your God. So Asa was just obeying that. So what happened is they had the altar, but then they had their idol right next to it. And it's like, well, you can do either one. It's no big deal. And Asa said, no, you have to seek the Lord and the Lord only. Well, you like this guy, don't you? I like him a lot. Don't give up. And here's great. Although he did not remove the high places from Israel, Asa's heart was fully committed to the Lord all his life. He brought into the temple of God the silver and gold and all the articles that he and his father had dedicated. Wow. I wish, don't you wish that would be on your tombstone? That Ron's heart was fully committed to the Lord all his life. What a great testimony of this king. I wish, though, that Asa's story stopped at chapter 15. But chapter 16 happens, and it's a little bit of a quandary to me to know how to think through this. So chapter 16, in the 36th year of Asa's reign, he had lasted 36 years seeking the Lord his God with all his heart and all his soul and all his mind. 36 years. But then, Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and fortified Ramah to prevent anyone from leaving or entering the territory of Asa, king of Judah. So he has this problem. So his first problem was Cush, the Cushites, from the south, coming up with 1 million people. And God solved that problem. And now he's got this problem from Israel in the north. And so his solution was that Asa took the silver and gold out of the treasuries of the Lord's temple and of his own palace and sent it to Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, who was ruling in Damascus. Let there be a treaty between me and you. So Asa, I can't explain it. The scripture doesn't explain why he did this, but he leaned on his own understanding and he says, hey, I think it would be better to make a treaty with the country on the north side of Israel and they could distract Israel and then it would solve my problem because the enemy of my enemy is my friend, kind of a thing. And so he made this kind of political move. And he started a treaty. And Baasha heard it. He stopped building Ramah and abandoned his work. So Asa's strategy worked. It was a brilliant political move. And you would think, wow, good for him. He didn't have to get his hands dirty. He didn't have to get the soldiers all revved up to do anything. He just made this strategic political move. At that time, Hananiah the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you relied on the king of Aram and not on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Aram has escaped from your hand. So the prophet shows up, and the prophet says, listen, Asa, the Lord was going to destroy the king of Aram as well, but you relied on you thought you had a better plan. This morning, we read the verses in Isaiah, my thoughts are not your thoughts, for my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. God has a different thought. So the prophet came to Sam and said, listen, you leaned on your own understanding. In all your ways, you're supposed to trust in the Lord, but you didn't. And so then he says, then he brings it up. He said, hey, weren't the Cushites and the Libites a mighty army, great numbers of chariots and horses? Yet when you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. Remember Asa? Remember that? It was 25 years ago. Remember that? But God came to your rescue. And here's the verse he says, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. That's a wonderful promise that we can claim. God is looking to help you in your situation if your heart is fully committed to him. The eyes of the Lord is a picture of the Holy Spirit. Ranging throughout the whole, he's looking to help you. He wants to help you. He's ready to help you. He's looking for people who are committed to him. But in Asa's case, the prophet says, you've done a foolish thing. From now on, you will be at war. Oh, wow. That's too bad. That's a sad thing. So, number five, listen to correction. Number four, remember, is don't rely on yourself, which Asa did. Number five is listen to correction. So the prophet came and said, listen, you've done a wrong thing. You're foolish. Asa was angry with the seer. Because of this, he was so enraged that he put him in prison. At the same time, Asa brutally oppressed some of the people. What happened? Asa was mad at the preacher. You know anybody like that? I liked the preacher until he preached that sermon. I don't like him now. He stepped on my toes. I don't like that. Well, Asa put him in jail. Thankfully, you can't do that, maybe, yet. Hopefully not. And then he oppressed people. What is going on in Asa's heart? It's so hard to understand him right now. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa was afflicted with a disease in his feet. That feels like the Lord is trying to get his attention, right? Because if you're a child of God, and you're walking the wrong path, God uses whatever he can use to get your attention. Though his disease was severe, even in his illness, he did not seek help from the Lord, but only from the physicians. That's sad. That's sad. But we can't really say too much about that. I think there are people in our lives that even when they're in the hospital, they're still so belligerent against the Lord. They're looking for the physician for help. They're not looking to the Lord for help. God is trying to get their attention, and he's using physical ailments to get it. But sometimes people don't listen. Listen to correction. So here is the five lessons from King Asa that I want to encourage you with. A good start doesn't guarantee a strong finish. Right? So, you got to just be aware all the time, every day, to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. You could live for the Lord for 36 years and the last 5 years blow it. Wow, that is concerning. That's a cautionary tale. A good start doesn't guarantee a strong finish. Build spiritual disciplines into your life. He did at the beginning. He made some amazing, great decisions. He got rid of all the idols. He got rid of the high places. He broke the sacred stones. He cleaned house. He really tried to seek the Lord. Well, we need to do the same thing. Build spiritual disciplines into our lives. Turn to God first, not your own ideas. Well, Asa is a great example of his prayer against the Cushites was a great, wonderful prayer. Lord, we rely on you. You're the one that helps the powerless against the weak. We turn to you, and he did sincerely do that. We need to do that as well. Number four, stay humble and teachable. I don't know what happened. It doesn't say. But it's almost like you had all of these blessings. It felt like he became proud. He was unteachable for sure. He almost got to the point where he thought he could solve his own problems. I'm going to turn to Ben-Hadad. I'm going to have a political answer. I'm going to solve my problems with money. Because I'm going to take all the money out of the treasury that I dedicated to the Lord, and I'm going to give it to Ben-Hadad because I'm going to solve my own problems. I'm going to lean on my own understanding. How do I prevent from doing that? I need to stay humble and teachable. And the last one is to ask God to reveal where you're holding back. It says in a couple places that even though Asa, he didn't get rid of all the high places. You know, there were just idols and altars everywhere, and he didn't get rid of all of them. And that's a little problem that we have. You know, it says in Psalm 135, 9, search my heart, know my, and see if there are any wicked way against me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So search my heart, search my heart, search my heart. So what do we need to remember from King Asa? Well, these great things. Remember Asa's prayer. 2 Chronicles 14, then Asa called to the Lord and said, there is no one like you to help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, Lord our God, for we rely on you, and in your name have come against this vast army. Lord, you are our God. Do not let mere mortals prevail against you. Help us. Remember his prayer. Remember Azariah's encouragement. The Lord is with you when you're with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. If you forsake him, he will forsake you. But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. Those are great verses. We need to remember those. We also need to remember Judah's obedience. They entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, the God, with their all their heart and soul. Judah rejoiced at the oath because they had sworn it wholeheartedly. They sought God eagerly, and he was found by them. We need to remember that. We need to seek the Lord with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. And then we remember God's promise. The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. When you're overwhelmed, when you're facing a challenge that you don't think you can face by your own, that's where God wants you. And he wants to come help you. He is looking to help you. I love that concept. He's looking everywhere, trying to find people who are committed to him so he can come help you. He wants to help you. Praise God for that. And then the last thing we want to remember, Asa's heart. His heart was fully committed to the Lord all his life. Now, it's a little hard to think about that, right? Because his last 5 years, he didn't. But you know, later on in Scripture, when God was talking, the Holy Spirit was talking, one of the other kings, they said, hey, you did not walk in the ways of your father Asa, who was fully committed to him. So God looks at this, and we look at this, and we look at the negatives, but God is looking at all the positive of Asa's life. I'm grateful for that, that God's looking at the great things that he's done in my life, and not all the things. He's looking at the times that he's come and shown strength in my life. That's what he's looking at, not all those times that I lean on my own understanding. He's looking at the times that I followed him. And I am grateful for that. He is fully committed to the Lord. Well, that was a whirlwind. That's a lot of verses. But I pray that the Lord will use Asa to remind you to stay strong and not to lean on your own understanding, but to in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. Lord, what an amazing man. I thank you for the great things that you allowed him to accomplish. He faced a million soldiers, and you brought a great victory. But Lord, I pray that you would help us, that we would prepare well, that we'd We pray hard on those moments we need to face our giants. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to not give up, to not rely on ourselves. And Lord, I pray that you just help us, that we would give you the glory in all that we do, and that when you correct us, that we'd listen, and that you'd help us to get back to the place where we're seeking you, and that you could be found by us. Bless us, Lord. We ask for your grace now. In Jesus' name, amen.